You're listening to Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. To listen to the full show in its entirety, find the full Dana show with the most recent date. Thanks for listening.
I don't like anything that has pox. Anything is like, if it's fish pox, monkey pox, elephant pox, I don't care. None of this sounds, I mean, no.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
So this is, let me pull this up. This is actually from their Facebook page. It says COVID-19 and vaccine policy updates and protections. And so they are prohibiting content. And it gets into this. They're prohibiting content. Things that about the claims that there are no Food and Drug Administration approved COVID vaccines, if that content also suggests that vaccines are unsafe, ineffective, or experimental, or have not been appropriately tested. Okay, that's a serious problem, because that is, that's exact. This has nothing to do with whether the efficacy of the vaccine. This has to do with the actual process by which these vaccines are approved. And that's a really big issue, a super big issue. And when they're doing this, this is emergency authorization. An emergency authorization, that means it hasn't gone through the full process to obtain FDA approval. So that makes no sense. Therein lies the problem, because they're saying now that information that is accurate and or true is not going to be included just because they don't like it. That's the thing. Who gets to determine what is or is not misinformation? I mean, if they're seriously trying to say that mRNA vaccines, which have never been administered like this, you know, the whole world, they went through this super speedy, fast trial period, which is true, and the leeway that they were given in order to be administered as emergency authorization, not the formality of obtaining FDA approval, because that process takes forever. All of that's accurate. So does Facebook have the data to support any of that's not true? No, they don't. This is the politicization of science. They won't even allow free discussion with any of this. And this is the problem. Instead, they say things like, well, I don't know. Here's Audio Soundbite 7. This is one of their oversight board members, Facebook's oversight board member. Listen to what is her name? Helly Thorning-Schmidt has to say about free speech.
And what we're trying to find, of course, I think many of us who are engaging in this conversation, is that middle road. How do you moderate content? And how do you find that balance between human rights and free speech versus a human rights? But also other human rights, because obviously free speech is not an absolute human right. It has to be balanced with other human rights. And that is what the oversight is there to do.
Well, maybe it isn't in other countries, but it is in the United States. It's a natural human right. You know, the country where Facebook is from. Just putting that out there. No, this is a very it's quite disconcerting when you look at how media is working to declare and set the guidelines and the boundaries for what is or is not misinformation. So if they can classify anything that they dislike as misinformation, that means even just differing opinions can be classified as misinformation. And if that's the justification on which to invite government regulation of speech, that's absolute censorship based on a falsehood. That's all political censorship, completely.
Remember when they were canceling and blocking people for saying that this was a lab leak, COVID was a lab leak?
Yeah, well,
and
now guess who supports it? Exactly. Guess who supports that?
Exactly.
Oh, so, Joe Biden now is around to believing that it's a lab leak. Oh, so, what?
So now, are we to believe that, you know, data is evolving? And so why would they ban anybody for any speech at all if later on they're going to find out they were wrong for doing it?
NPR has a hit piece out on Daily Wire, and they're mad because Daily Wire has a lot of Facebook engagement. And so as a result of that, they're trying to classify Daily Wire as being part of misinformation. And because it's because it's classified as misinformation, that seems to beg the question that that Daily Wire then can be, that that anything that they share on Facebook can be regulated according to government dictates, according to their edicts, according to their standards. I'm telling you, interesting stuff. I have a couple other things I want to hit here too. I have to share this with you. A number of things still that I want to get through. We're going to talk about this more at length coming up with Stephen Yates. But the situation, let me pull this up. This is it was an AP piece. Microsoft Exchange hack caused by China, U.S. and allies say. The administration of Western allies formally blamed China on Monday, today, for a massive hack of Microsoft Exchange's email server, their software, and they accused Beijing of working with criminal hackers on ransomware and other illicit cyber operations. Now, they were not accompanied by sanctions against the Chinese government. The announcements were intended as a forceful condemnation of activities. Okay. And apparently, there's been a broad range of cyber threats. And then, of course, you have this from Reuters. Norway's government, their government, Norway says the cyber attack on parliament was carried out from China. Their foreign minister talked to the media today, from Oslo, Norway, and said that the March 10th cyber attack that took place on the parliament's email system was carried out from China. And they've called on authorities to take steps to prevent such attacks in the future. Where are we in the point of believing that our current method of deterrence isn't working? Now, of course, some people will immediately, because they have limited brain capabilities and functionality, and they'll immediately assume that the answer is either that or a war. But ignoring that, what are other ways that we can do to have a stronger deterrence against China for these things? We're going to talk about this with Stephen Yates. Now, keeping that in mind, because apparently China's government has been recruiting hackers to attack all Western targets, not just the United States. The Guardian has this piece where they say a leak uncovers global abuse of a cyber surveillance weapon. Spyware sold to authoritarian regimes is used to target activists, politicians, and journalists, data suggests. These are all the same people who said it's impossible for the NSA to spy on Tucker Carlson. What are you talking about? It's all made up. There's 50,000 like phone numbers that have been identified as people of interest by clients of NSO, the NSO group. That's the Israeli surveillance company. According to an investigation, there's a data leak there. It's the hacking spyware called Pegasus. The way that I've seen this kind of portrayed is people are shocked that Israel would have spies. First off, well, everybody has spies. We have spies there. They have spies here. That's just how all of this works. But I'm curious as to whether or not the United States uses Pegasus. So apparently the Guardian says that their media partners are going to reveal the identities of people whose number appeared on the list in the coming days. Business executives, religious figures, academics, NGO employees, union officials, government officials, cabinet ministers, presidents, and prime ministers. Ooh. That's very interesting. I'm waiting for the tea on that. I'm also going to ask Stephen Yates about this too. That's very interesting. That's a lot of people that are being surveilled. I'm not entirely shocked by all of this, but at the same time, we've been dealing with this here in the United States for quite some time. We're spied on by our own government. Of course, other countries, I'm not saying that I approve or endorse or support it, because I have to say that now because everything's stupid. But if our government's spying on us, obviously other foreign governments are spying on our government. I mean, where do people think James Bond came from? I don't know. You just feel like you can't trust any article. You know that? You can't trust a single article anymore. Not a single one. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Mm-mm-mm. I was reading a story where they said an SUV had mowed down some folks in Spain. They're investigating it, but there were like 25 people that were on the sidewalk and apparently were hit by this SUV. I don't think that we know if it's a terror attack or anything just yet, but interesting. The fear-mongering, goodness, U.S. hits highest number of daily new coronavirus cases in the world again, 80,000. And again, you have to separate out positive cases from fatalities, case severity, things of that nature, which apparently nobody is doing. Let's see. Riot police break up a dueling transgender riot. Again, outside of that L.A. spa, the We Spa. We've talked about that actually when we had, I've spoken with Tony Moon before on the first and had that conversation. So this had to do with the woman who had taken video of her addressing the staff at We Spa because a man was allowed into the women's area and he exposed himself to the women and young girls there. And so for the second time, there was violent protest and right outside, and the spa defended its practices again. So I don't even know why anybody's going there now at this point, because now you have to worry about a riot outside because Antifa shows up and is violent with people. And then you have to worry about possibly getting flashed inside even by a man who identifies as a woman, but still might be sexually attracted to women, because everything makes sense, right? That's where we are right now. Also, a federal judge has blocked new DACA applications and says that the program is not legal. This is a big setback for the Biden administration. It's a federal judge in Texas on Friday ruled that the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the Obama-era program, where certain people who crossed the border or were brought in by parents, they were sheltered from deportation. He says that it is illegal. New applicants are blocked. Those who had already gone through or who had already enrolled, I guess, is the correct way to put it, they are grandfathered in. So they're not included in the illegality of that classification. So that's something to watch as well. Also, Boris Johnson's Freedom Day. Have you guys heard of this? Apparently, they're back where they were in the UK like 18 months ago with all of this, with lockdowns and everything else. Boris Johnson's Freedom Day is going to screw the NHS's claim top doctors. So they're criticizing him because he's lifting all the coronavirus restrictions today. And one health minister said that he tested positive for coronavirus. Everyone else is saying that the prime minister is opening up way too fast. One neurologist said Freedom Day should be called Freedom Day, and said that we are, quote, screwed, end quote. They said this about Texas, too, didn't they?
Yeah.
And also Florida?
Yeah.
And also, what, South Dakota?
Yeah.
And also pretty much everywhere else that reopened, and then they ended up having like cases that were not as high as, say, New York or California. I thought so. Stay with us. Stephen Yates joins us next, because are we at the point with China where, what do we do with deterrence? Stick with us. And monkeypox. What the heck? I saw this over the weekend. A Dallas resident here in Dallas, Texas. I thought this was fake when I read this. It's actually a thing. Dallas Morning News had it. So did MSN. A Dallas resident has been diagnosed with monkey pox, the first case ever reported in a human in Texas, or just in a human, apparently. Officials stressed that the risk posed to the general public was super low. And apparently, the patient flew to Dallas Love Field from Atlanta on July 9th after arriving in the country earlier that day on a flight from Nigeria. No identity has been released. They're in isolation at a Dallas hospital. Apparently, they're stable. CDC was working to determine how the patient contracted it. I don't like anything that has pox. Anything is like, if it's fish pox, monkey pox, elephant pox, I don't care. None of this sounds, I mean, no. Didn't they all say that, oh, no, you don't have to worry about this? That's what they said also, too, about the pandemic. Remember in the very beginning, oh, no, don't worry about it. Nancy Pelosi was telling everyone to go out and eat in February. And in actually the first week of March. And then everybody did a 180. So apparently the monkeypox virus is a family of viruses, includes smallpox and cowpox. It's not as deadly as smallpox. Cowpox? Okay, sure. Up to 10% of the cases of human monkeypox in Africa are fatal, says MSN, but health officials say the local case is a less deadly strain. It's only fatal about 1% of the time, they said. And it's obviously people who are immunocompromised. It poses a higher risk to them. I don't know. So, good heavens. The way that they discovered this sounds like a sci-fi movie. It really is weird. For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh my gosh. Why do people throw gators everywhere in Florida? This happened again July 16th. Daytona Beach shores. The Florida man told officers he was teaching a gator a lesson. I'm not even kidding you. He said he was teaching it a lesson. He tried to throw a live alligator that he had stolen from a miniature golf course onto the roof of a beachside cocktail lounge, said authorities. The 32-year-old man was arrested Thursday when Daytona Beach Shores police, they spotted him trying to throw the gator onto the roof. Then they saw the man take the gator by its tail and then hit it against the awning of the building, throw it to the ground, and stomp on it twice. I know. He was taken into custody and charged with possession and injury of an alligator. So if I could turn into a Titan, like Attack on Titan, I would do that to this guy. And I don't even like gators. I'd be like, can I just show him what it's like? Just once? Can you imagine that? I'll mete out all of your punishments. See? Let's see. I have a lot more. Florida man steals candles and sprays people with bear mace at a mall. A Florida man stole candles from a mall store and sprayed a bunch of patrons with bear mace before escaping. He was at Bath and Body Works. And Doral police spokesman Ray Valdez says, this is an only in Miami story. So the guy could face, if he's caught, numerous armed robbery and aggravated battery charges. But he's still looking for him. What dude steals candles?
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.